Tonight, we salute our captain, Claude Giroux, who is about to reach the milestone of skating in his 1,000th career NHL game, all of which he played as a member of the Orange and Black. Claude is currently in his 15th NHL season and 10th as Flyers captain, serving for over 700 games, which makes him the longest tenured captain in Flyers history.
Right here. I mean, you talk about skill right here. It's a one-on-four.
Back to the center of the net. He's got that out of the field. Here's the pass. Claude Giroux. One-on-one. He goes in. Deeks. And scores!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Podcast. We're your hosts today, TJ and Raj.
Hey there.
So today we're sans Zach. He closed tonight, and he's opening tomorrow. So even if he didn't do the podcast, which was the wise decision we all agreed on, he probably would get 4 hours max of sleep. So
Jesus.
He's not doing the podcast because that's easy, shaving off an hour and a half or such. Everybody's working for the weekend. Everybody wants a new romance. We got your weekend preview for you guys today. You can find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey. You can join the Fantasy Hockey Discord. It's been a busy week. It seemed like all the trades kind of stopped, you know, like the Toffoli one trickled in. Josh Manson kind of kicked things off. But we got one that's one, I think. Like, we can talk about Yarncroke fine if we're talking like super deep leagues. But I think Vetrano is the one that is actually going to get a little bit of airtime. And it should. He's playing in the top six. He's getting a power play two role in New York. That game's happening right now. You know, he pushed down Dryden Hunt. That seemed like the smart thing to be doing. But what's your take on this one, man? Vetrano, he's a banger. He's a shooter. And he's getting a top six role on a pretty high flying offense there. You're going to be playing with Panarin at even strength. What's your take?
That's a definite increase from his line mates in Florida. But, you know, that was a pretty high flying offense, too. So he's been around those kind of players before. I think it's great. Rangers are... I love their offense. I mean, they've had a pretty decent season, but like they just score. He's going to be a part of it. I don't know. He's used to playing not too many minutes and playing really hard. Like he does, even he'll have 12 to 14 minute games where he'll get five shots. So he is the kind of guy who doesn't need a ton of time to get the job done. And yeah, if he can hang in that top six in either line with any combination of those players, this is a big increase for him. Cause he always kind of seemed to fall on the wrong side of the line shuffling in the past. So I think if he gets on the right side of it this time, it could be a huge increase for him.
What I like the most is the deployment increase. So I think, you know, going from bottom six in Florida, which is good enough, like that's a deep team. So you're looking pretty good. He played 1447 tonight, which is the most he's played since 2021 in Florida. Yeah, so he's already getting more minutes. This was his first kind of like dip into the pool there, right? So he's in New York, doing a little bit of everything. He got one shot tonight. They lost 2-1 to the New York Islanders. He did get one shot and blocked a shot too. So he's no stranger to anything. But looking on the year, he's got 19 points in 49 games now, taking 105 shots, two shots a game. I think we're going to see that go up. He's been a guy that, you know, like you've said, volume shooter in days past, I guess we can call it. Seven-shot game, six-shot game, four. I am keeping a very close watch on Vetrano here. Very, very close. I expect his ownership to go up just based on the hype and the top six role, but I think it's a good bet.
Well, his ownership's going to go up from the 6% it's at today.
I think it could at least double.
It would be bold to say, so I won't quite say it, but he could be like a slightly lower grade Bennett the way he ended that season when he went to Florida and kind of shoved Vetrano out of that spot. Could give him just that little kick. You never know. Could be nothing. He could kind of keep at the same pace he's been, but he also gets peripherals. Like he'll block a shot here and there.
Yeah. This year is kind of low for him. He's only got 48 hits in 49 games. Usually is up around, you know, a hit and a half. So I don't know. New role, new feel. Vetrano had a really good game the day before he got traded. But that's the way she goes. Sherratt got traded to Florida. He's working out some visa stuff. What do you expect his role to be in Florida? Do you think he's going to get any power play time? Is he going to be viable for anything other than just like a low res banger?
I think he'll be a banger. He's not useless in terms of offense, but he's close. You know, like he's definitely, you wouldn't be wanting to pick him up with points in mind, but you know, just looking at over some recent games, he had a 2-goal and an assist night. He's actually had points in his last 4 games in a row, as I'm talking shit about him. But you'd definitely be after blocks, number one, and hits, number two. And Florida is no shortage of offense already, so I think they're asking him to come in and be like playoff, you know, that kind of role.
He's
so
depth.
I don't think
he's depth.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is. Like, you know, I hear people on the internet right now talking, oh, he's going to get power play two, he's going to do something. I just don't see it. You got Brandon Montour, who's there already. And Brandon Montour right now is getting the look over Mackenzie Weegar, who I would have, you know, ahead of Sherratt, ahead of even Montour at this point. I don't think we're going to see, you know, agreeing with you here, like, I don't think we're going to see offense from Sherratt at this point.
No, I think he's probably fourth in terms of offense, but dude, like, Florida, this team is almost getting unfair. Like, between Florida and Tampa, like, you know, the state that shouldn't even have hockey has two insane teams. And this is like adding him. This is a perfect move. It's a perfect playoff move, but it is not a huge fantasy thing. But like, can you imagine how much better Ben Sherratt feels today than he did yesterday? Like, he came from Montreal. Now he's on Florida.
I liked what he was doing in Montreal, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, he was doing well, but now he's going to Florida. It's going to be sunny, and he'll probably win a cup, as opposed to being where it's still fucking snowing and in last place. So I think
we're getting picks, buddy. We're getting picks, though. Florida chose. I see teams right now. They're hunting down these 2023 draft picks. That draft being a little bit deeper than the 2022 entry level draft. I don't know what's going to happen because Florida is the front runner for Claude Giroux right now, and they don't have a first in either of the next two drafts. The 2022 pick going to Buffalo for Sam Reinhart, the 2023 first going for Sherratt. So, you know, it's, I don't know if I see that as a fit, guys. I know Owen Tippett was held out today. Maybe there's some speculation that we're doing a ginger for ginger, one for one trade. You don't know. You don't know. I mean, we're going to have to wait and see. You know, Yarncroke in Calgary, while we're on the subject of depth.
Depth
here. Do you think he makes a third line appearance or a fourth line appearance? You know, I like Mikhail Backlund, and Sean Monahan makes sense in the top six. We've seen him on the bottom line here and there, but what do you think about Yarncroke here? Third or fourth line?
If you needed him to, he could play second line. He is that kind of player, and I think that's why they got him. He'll probably play left wing and right wing and on second, third, and fourth lines, and maybe hit the second power play. You know, he's just, they'll move him around. He's a good player on a great team, but he's definitely, like, his role will be third or fourth. Like,
yeah, I think he's depth. I don't know if we're looking at him yet.
No, I mean, his thing is goals when he has a thing, but I mean, that's not what they need. They're just going to need him to take third line minutes. And Calgary is not looking for more offense. You know, very similar kind of thing to Sherratt. Like, good for him, good for the team. Doesn't really matter in fantasy land, I don't think.
Giroux played his 1,000th game tonight. I got to admit, I did shed a couple tears. That was a good celebration of his career. And it felt so much like a goodbye. There was a presser before the game, Claude Giroux using a lot of past tense words like, oh, I loved my time here. You guys have been great. Like, it seems like now is it. So it just seems no good.
Yeah. Like we were saying the other day, it's super cool that he got to this game with them. The last interview I heard with him in the last few days, he said he's absolutely focused on this game. But then he made a point of saying, and after that, my mindset's going to be changing a little bit. So it was nice. I believe they got the win tonight, did they not?
They did, yeah.
Against a good Nashville team, so a nice way for him to probably leave. I agree with you. I think he's on the way out, and I think he is potentially worth keeping an eye on. I mean, he's 72% rostered right now, so this is not a huge chance that he's available in your league. But if he happens to be, I think
a lot of people are thinking just like that. Like, I wonder how much of that 72, 73, how much did you say?
Yeah, 72%.
So I wonder how much of those people are just gambling, waiting on him to go somewhere. Colorado, Florida are the front runners right now. Those are the two most heavily invested as far as rumors go. I'd love to see Minnesota take a swing, especially for his fantasy value. And Minnesota is just one of the teams I like to root for. And Giroux is hands and away my favorite player. That would be something else. And I do think he makes a really good fit there. They have a line one role. You know, you could push Ryan Hartman to line two, which I think is still punching above his weight class. And, you know, you could fit things around it. And I do think that's an unreal fit. And I'd love to see it happen. Chuck Fletcher is exactly the type of person you want to get one over on, and it's easy to do so. So, you know, let's see what he's gonna wing with it.
I think he could fit in any of those three teams. Elliot Friedman was talking, still saying like Florida is it today. He was saying that it's still Florida. I just don't see how they're going to fit him in or any of that. I think to me, the other two make more sense. I think he's going to Colorado. But if he was to...
Florida's interesting.
If he was to go to Minnesota, for example, he's going to be like the leader, you know? Like he's the old dog there. He's the veteran... I think in Minnesota, he would have more of a presence. Whereas if he went to like Colorado, he's still kind of, you know, probably the old guy, but he's just like so much more in the background. Like he's definitely a secondary piece. So if he goes to Minnesota, I think his fantasy value would be pretty interesting.
I think it's between Minnesota and Colorado that are the two most intriguing when it comes to fantasy value, because with Landeskog out, I think that opens up a spot for him. I think Minnesota is just by way of subtraction. Like you move down all your centers and you've just upgraded your entire team by adding a first line center. Florida, I could see him maybe taking Verhaeghe's spot, playing alongside Barkov and figuring out what to do with Maxime Mamin, however. Maybe you move Verhaeghe over and you still keep him on the top line, but you know, it's just there is that one missing piece that doesn't make sense. And they're top six, top nine even. I don't know. I imagine it's going to happen in the next few days. I don't remember seeing anybody like grab a puck or anything, but it does seem like it's just, that's the end. Sad. Very sad. All right, so let's move into injuries before we get to the mailbag and the weekend preview here. First injury is a big one. It's Shabbat out for the year. So let's talk up and down the waiver wire right now because people are scrambling for replacements. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to go 50%, 40%, 30, and so on, and just kind of give one or two, you know, replacement options in each. And hopefully one of them is available in your league, especially when we get to 10, like some of you 12 teamers should 100% have some room for these guys. But let's start in the 40 to 50 range, man. Who do you like there?
I was actually going to say Morrissey and Goss Despair in that range. I had Morrissey mentioned coming up. He's 49% owned. You're hearing this on Friday. You can pick him up today. I was bringing him up for a great schedule too. So, but he's been on power play one, so I like him. Goss Despair's on Arizona. It's just doing ridiculous stuff that doesn't make any sense in anyway, so he could be good, but he's been performing again. So, yeah, I like both of those if they happen to be available.
Yeah, I think Goss Despair is my pick here. He's power play one, you know, shooting okay. So, you know, you're trying to make this replacement for somebody like Shabbat, and it's going to be hard. You're not going to find that on the waiver wire. So, but, you know, if you're shopping above the 50% and somebody like Jeff Petrie is available, Rasmus Anderson, even Ivan Provorov, Dumba, Chychrun, you know, there's some guys in that 50 to 60 that are worth checking out. Let's go 30 to 40%. There's only one, or no, there's a couple. All right. I was going to say it's just Ryan Ellis at 40%, but we got a bunch of them here. Who do you like in this range?
Well, I've got two, actually, depending on what you need. I would go with Damon Severson for offense.
That's the answer.
Yep. He's great. We've talked about him a few times recently. But my other option would be, in terms of bangs, Risto is in that range, too.
Risto. I think he's like sixth in the league in hits, so you're definitely getting that.
hits and blocks. He's tough to beat. Yeah, but yeah, Severson, Severson. I still don't know which way it goes. But yeah, those two are great. I like both of them. Sure.
I'll tell you what, I would take Severson over those 40% guys.
Yeah.
Over Gostisbehere, over, I can't even tell you who we were talking about at this point, Josh Morrissey. I would take Severson, and maybe even Risto, you know?
I've been using Risto as my, basically all of my bangs, recently. Cause no, he is like one of the most consistent hits and blocks guys out there. And he just, I guess 34% is a decent amount, but he seems to always be available in our leagues. The league I'm looking at right now, he's available. So, yeah, I love him.
20 to 30. Who do you like?
That's tough, man. That's where all the shitty players are. But I would go, I don't mind taking a risk on Pulak. But I mean, we've been talking so much about how good Noah Dobson's doing and kind of soaking up all the little offense that a D can get in the Islanders. So that sketches me out about him a little bit. I'll throw in a Zach vote with Esa Lindell in that range. He's right at 20%.
Yeah, that would 100% be his vote.
Which he's great for blocks in particular. Sherratt happens to be in that range.
Yeah, I don't think I'd go for him. I like Ryan Suter.
Yeah.
You know, he's taking a bigger role with Miro Heiskanen out. He's got 25 points in 58 games so far. He doesn't really shoot, block, or hit. But there is some offensive exposure out there. And Noah Hanifin, right at 20%. If it's one thing you're going to get out of him, it's shots. He's shooting quite a bit for like this range of defensemen when we're talking relative. How about 20% and under? Who are you?
My guy, Tyler Myers. 18%. Yeah. He's exactly like Tyler Pearson is on the Canucks. He will probably get you one of a couple of things in every game. He never gets you nothing, but he will definitely not excite you either. if you have like a height per 60 or like pant length, he will definitely help your team out. But generally, he's a safe stream. Canucks have a decent schedule coming up, so he could be an option.
I think when we start to get under 20% and under 10% specifically, we have to pivot our expectations. Like I'm going to say it, you're not going to be able to replace Shabbat and his production from the waiver wire. If you could, they'd already be owned. Under 20%, you're starting to look at bangs. So you're pivoting. And I hope you're not in a points league. And if you are, I'm definitely straying towards if Rasmus Anderson is out there or anybody on Power Play One, you're talking Shane Gostisbehere at this rate. Even Jamie Drysdale is really lowly owned. You start to get tough.
If you're looking for peripherals, Romanov on Montreal is an interesting one, because now with Sherratt gone, he was playing like 25 minutes in Montreal. He was already playing about 19 and a half, so he'll probably get a little bump in playing time. And he's like fourth in the league in hits right now, so he's a good option.
Yeah, him. I mean, Adam Larson's there for bangs. Braden McNabb is out right now. Good luck with offense. It's going to be tough finding it, but I do think a lot of us are going to need to pivot to bangs if you're playing in a banger league. That's tough cookies. Robin Leonard, there's an injury here, and there's a lot of smoke about it too. So Frank Saravalli was reporting today that it was his knee. Robin Leonard responded to that tweet and like had a facepalm emoji and was just saying, nope, you're wrong. Jesse Granger is tweeting out that he just ran into Robin Leonard. You know, he's not walking in a boot, but he's not allowed to say what it is, but he is upset that, you know, there's somebody saying he's got a broken kneecap. Like, I don't know. He says he's moving fine, but it is a serious injury. So, you know, it's still super gray. And until they give us some clarity, that's all it's going to be. I would expect for it to be weeks, plural, at this point, but we don't know. There's no timeline. DeBoer didn't have a timeline on him, Riley Smith, or Max Pacioretty. That's where we're at in Vegas right now. It's kind of tough.
So, yeah, I mean, we spent half of the last episode ranting about how crappy they've been and how things were down and just, yeah, oh my God, man. At least they have Fleury. Oh, they don't have Fleury anymore.
Yeah, you got to be thinking about how Fleury feels about this. He's probably got that big ass smile on his face.
You know what I want to see? I want to see Fleury now post a picture of him like holding the sword up. Like fucking Gandalf or somebody.
That'd be a whole thing. All right, Patrice Bergeron is out for 2 games. He's got an arm infection. I don't know if it's staph, if it's, I don't know what it is. But they said 2 games, so that's what we got there. If we're talking about other injuries, like kind of lower grade injuries, Josh Anderson's out, Pavel Zaka's out, Mark Giordano, like a lot of guys getting held out for trade rumors and stuff like that, such as Mark Giordano. Tim Stützle's got a lower body injury at this point. And your boy, Elias Pettersson, came back tonight. You know, they announced that after my lineup locked, so that was fucking cool.
You know me, I've probably have them in 4 teams, and game time decision for your like number one center. It's just, I think on most teams, luckily he's a center, so you probably have backup options. I benched him, so I'm hoping the Canucks win and he doesn't score anything.
All right, we have a few mailbag questions here. Some of them are a little, you know, hard to word, but we're going to go with first. We're going to go with Bumbleflex here. He says, so this is a fun one. Playoffs are coming up soon, and at least in my home league, it's pretty much locked in, and seeding is all that's on the line. With the end of the season looming, looking at long-term additions is becoming increasingly more immediate. What are your opinions on some end-of-the-season schedules for remaining games and matchups, and how hard should one look at making longer-term adds to counter some of your playoff matchups' star players? So I wonder if he's talking about, like, anti-stacking, where you stack your opponent's team just so that you get in on a little bit. Like, say you have, I don't know, Kadri, and I pick up Burakovsky just to, you know, hopefully get on some of that IPP or something like that. You know what I mean? I'm wondering if that's what he's talking about.
I think it sounds like that's what he's talking about. Now, just as a general thing, I mean, I think all of that is good to look at, but it's so important. I mean, I think games played is the number one thing. Obviously, you're trying to maximize. But I don't like going overboard with rearranging a team that you have that's got you to the playoffs. I mean, you're there because you're one of the top 4 or top 6 teams in your league already. So it doesn't make much sense to blow it up. Like we were talking the other day, like that's why you don't see, like, it's really rare that a team's going to add a major, major piece at the end of the season, because if they needed major pieces, they wouldn't be there. Yeah. So I would look at it a little more like that. Like, just with any of that, you know, managing, you know, overanalyzing your team, like, don't forget that you have a good team to begin with. So just keep your locker room tight, first of all.
And have those room guys.
Yeah. I like games played as the number one thing. I'm not too worried about, like, trying to do the anti-stack thing, you know, like coattail ride kind of thing, yeah, to match up, because you're also nullifying yourself by doing that. Right, like if someone's got, like the trying to pick up Burakovsky or someone like that who might happen to be on the same line as a Kadri or something like that, in order to nullify your opponent's points, like your Kadri's points, you're also nullifying yourself. So I think the chances of that actually really working out, you're probably potentially doing more harm than good to your roster.
I think that goes hand in hand into kind of how I feel. The best way to maximize games played in the playoffs is not by looking at St. Louis or Toronto or Nashville or any of these teams that have the most amount of games played down the stretch, unless you're in a league where you have like 1 or 2 moves left. The way to maximize games played is to exploit the hell out of your streaming spot.
Yeah.
You want to find out what team has the most games the rest of the way? It's your streamer. He has the most games.
Yeah.
That guy. So you need to be on top of the streaming options. You need to be on top of, I say it every year, you know, at the start of the playoffs, your lineups should already be set for the entire playoffs. You should know who spends the most time on your bench. That should be your stream spot. If you have a guy that's consistently getting set on heavy nights and only playing on, like, you know, on nights or off nights or whatever, that's the guy you want to be streaming out. And I see people like, oh, should I drop this guy for Ivan Barbashev? You know, and hold him rest of season. Like, no, you're handcuffing yourself. You're getting rid of your streamer spot because the allure of one game that St. Louis has in 1 week that you're hoping to make it to.
So easy to do things in order to do things. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like you're doing stuff is always the right thing to do. But again, you're in the playoffs. And if you're in the playoffs, you have a good team. So just be careful with that. There's a reason people are on the waiver wire right now, and there's a reason you're in the playoffs right now. And any amount of like backdoor entry you're trying to do or manage your way in, just be, don't get too caught up in trying to like,
yeah,
get too fancy.
This is the only time of year that I'm like curious about my waiver order, like where my position is on the waiver wire. Big players get dropped. And if you're handcuffed with Ivan Barbashev and somebody gets dropped, that's a big name difference maker because somebody's in the, you know, the last day of their matchup and they're throwing a Hail Mary so they can make it to the next week. I mean, that's an easy drop right there. Like, well, you know, you spent all this time on Ivan Barbashev. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but basically Bumbleflex here, like with the end of the season looming, looking at long-term additions becoming increasingly more immediate, you know, to quote from your question here, I would almost like advise the opposite. Don't think of anybody as a long-term option at this point. Take it week by week. Take it day by day if you've got enough ads through the week. You know, a lot of people, like I was just saying, a lot of people are hard on for St. Louis right now, but you're looking at, you know, the first week, St. Louis getting so much buzz. Like if you're starting April 11th, Winnipeg and Montreal hands down have the best schedule. 3 off nights, 4 games played. And if you're riding somebody in St. Louis, you're missing out on off nights. So like, I don't know, just take it week by week would be my advice. Unless you have like 1 or 2 ads the rest of the way, in which case you have to look at somebody from St. Louis or like Toronto. I'm personally a big fan of Florida outside of that 5-day kind of wash there. And you might be able to gamble on somebody like Claude Giroux and just kind of win your way into Florida there, because I think their schedule is the easiest the rest of the way. Like the matchups are super plush, where St. Louis plays a lot of away games and they're barely, like they're just over 500 on the road. So, you know, I don't know. There's a lot more to dig into it than just pure volume of games played. Okay, so third or fourth episode in a row, somebody's asking us about Dougie Hamilton. What do with Dougie at this point? He's in a 10-person league, and I got Jagiellonia. I'm so sorry about trying to pronounce your name. But anyway, on Discord, he sends us his waiver wire. He's got guys like Spurgeon, Provorov, Josh Morrissey's on there, Evan Bouchard, Mark Giordano, Severson is there. You know, you upgrade in the same team. Don't really screw with your schedule at all. But like, what do you think? Do you make a Dougie for Damon switch here? Is that something we can do right now?
If you're trying, did he say if he's in the playoffs or trying to make the playoffs?
No, we didn't get that much.
Because that would actually change it. Because if he is comfortably in the playoffs and has Dougie, I would hold on to Dougie because he's probably going to get better than 0 points in the last 5 games, you'd like to think. But if he's like struggling to make into the playoffs, like if it's a do or die time, I would actually do that trade and take Severson. Trade to the waiver wire, drop and pick up. I would actually do it. I mean, Dougie hasn't been great. He hasn't played too much, 24 points in 41 games this year.
I'm not doing anything until after the trade deadline. I still believe that they're juicing Severson right now, juicing his value. So I'm not doing anything until after the trade deadline. And then, I mean, I'm still on the fence about this. Like, I think Severson is probably the best option there on the waiver wire. I like Spurgeon, and I do think Minnesota turns it around at some point. And, you know, Morrissey, for what it's worth, this weekend is really good. And then the first week of playoffs, he's got a really good schedule as well. I don't know. Like, can you turn that into a stream spot? And then Dougie, you know, maybe he does get power play one back and then you're, you know, shit out of luck or burn in a waiver priority. I think it depends on where your waiver priority is and like what your status in the league is. Like Roger was saying, are you fighting? Are you in? Do you have the luxury of being patient right now? What is your status there? But you know, first and foremost, I'm not doing anything until after the trade deadline, just in case.
Yeah, I'd be trying to hang on, but either way, that is one of those, that's a scary move. Dropping a guy like Dougie Hamilton is a scary, scary move, no matter how much sense it makes.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you feel dirty. It's a 10-team league, so, you know, maybe he would survive the waiver wire, but I really doubt it. I really doubt it. All right, so Master Destroyer has a question here. He says, okay, next week is the first week of playoffs in my league. Looking at guys like Voracek, Toffoli, McCann, and O'Reilly, they're only playing one game Monday to Thursday versus worse players. that are on the Oilers, Preds, and Knights who have three games during that span. I feel like I should be dropping these guys this week, regardless of the outcome, to set my team up early next week and have moves for next weekend to lock up a win. I'm mostly thinking out loud here, but he wants to hear our thoughts. There are guys like Tolvanen, Tomasino, Kolasar, Whitecloud, Trenin, and Shore on the wire. That is a thin waiver wire. That's thin.
So who does he want to drop for that?
One of McCann, Toffoli, or Voracek, or O'Reilly. Because you're getting two extra games by swapping out McCann for like a Tolvanen at this point.
I might do that exact move, but Tolvanen has been fairly sketchy all year.
Yeah, I mean, out of those guys, I kind of like Shore the most. Like maybe Tolvanen just for member berries. Like I know what he did last year. I have to be realistic about Tomasino here. I'd love to see where these guys are ranked, and this does seem like something that we should talk about in our week preview coming up. So I'll make a mental note to bring this one up when we're talking about who's got the best schedules and like what kind of ads we're going to be making. Master Destroyer, hit me up in DM. I want screenshots of your waiver wire. We're going to figure this out here. That's tough. But I think McCann is probably our drop out of any of those guys. We will revisit this one. Grizz has a question here. He's curious about blind spots. We all got them. Players or teams that you skip over when you're searching the wire. Who are some players who you consistently overlook or underestimate and why? And he gives some of his. They're Killorn, Stevenson, Kopp. Just never seem to pick him up, even when they're staring him in the face. I have a couple here, and I don't know if I overlook them or if I'm just too stubborn. Jeff Skinner, having a good fucking year. He will not touch my roster no matter how good he's doing.
Yeah.
Don't care. Jeff Skinner is somebody I'm overlooking a lot. Rob Thomas, again, I'm just salty about the whole situation. And I guess for me, it's just guys who have burned me in the past. Like I love Kopp, tri-eligible, you know, banging around a little bit, and he's been productive. He's somebody that I'm a pretty big fan of, but it's guys that I have an unnecessary dislike for. Let me pull up. Like, why don't you take the wheel and I'll pull up my waiver wire and just be like, nope.
Yeah, I definitely have some unjustified hate for certain players. And I, you know, like, I like to have teams that I like. I obviously try to do things not just by your gut and do things that make sense, but I like to have a team that I like. And I know a few guys, like, for me, it's more at the draft where I notice it. Like, I will never draft Marchand.
But you're not overlooking him, right? Because both you and I have made this mental note.
No, I'm staring him in the face and telling him to fuck off. I'm not overlooking him. It's more that. And also teams. Like I've gotten better at it this year, but I in the past have been guilty of like, oh, they're on Arizona, so they're garbage. You know, they just told all of us that they can still put up points at certain times. And I finally came around on a couple of guys, but it would be guys like Clayton Keller. I will pick up a Kessel just for the fun of it because it's Phil Kessel. But it was guys like, for me, it was always Connor Garland when he was on Arizona. Those streamer level guys like that, I just didn't like it because I had a little bit of thought that I don't like the teams, but that did lead me to overlook.
I got one. Shit, I just had him. I overlooked him again. JT Confer. JT Confer goes on runs, never really get around to adding him. Just never happens. But I am looking, and I'm hoping Zach doesn't listen to this before I can make a move, but I see Palmieri on the waiver wire right now in my home league, and I very much plan to add him for his next game. He's got points in a lot straight, so that top six in New York is quite potent right now. I see JGP up here too, and he's one of my favorites, so I will definitely be adding an Islander this week. So I'm playing Toby, whose real name is Tony, but I call him Toby because he fucking hates it. And yeah, fuck you, Toby. All right, let's move on. When it comes to fantasy playoffs, how much weight should be given to strength of schedule versus pure games played? Is it wise to solely maximize games rather than look for good matchups that work within your schedule? I feel like we touched on this one. The way you maximize games played is by streaming, and the way you stream is by going way of strength of schedule. So Matt EC, streaming is the way you maximize games played. I don't really go for, you know, just one team. maybe around trade deadline, I'll do that. Like, I'll make a move for somebody who has got a really good playoff schedule that makes an impact every single day rather than just stacking games played. But I think it's a mix of both. And I think the best way to maximize games is by streaming. That is it for the mailbag. Let's get into the week preview, man. What teams are you digging this weekend?
This weekend, well, there's a few teams that have the Friday-Sunday split, so the off nights and avoiding the Saturday heavy night. So they're going to be your best options for the most part. So you got Winnipeg, Washington, Carolina, San Jose, Philly, and Buffalo. There's some players available on a couple of those teams. So I think overall, I do like Winnipeg. In terms of who's available on the Friday and Sunday, they play Boston and Chicago. And Morrissey, as we talked about earlier, he's available and he's had power play one. He's a guy who I definitely hesitate to pick up. Just out of, I don't like him that much for some reason, but he's very much worth picking up if you're in need of D right now. And then Paul Stastny, center left wing.
Stastman.
8% owned.
I'm keeping an eye on Kopp. I want to see what's going on there. I like him a lot. You know, try eligible, very available. If he does come back, he's somebody I got my eye on for this weekend.
Yeah, so Winnipeg's decent. I heard a crazy, some show throwing out that Hellebuck was involved in some kind of trade rumor, which...
Get out of town.
Yeah, come on.
Get out of
town. Shit together. But I like those. I like those guys. I like that schedule, and it's the Friday Sunday split is really nice to have. But that's really it for them. Winnipeg is a team I'm just not a fan of this year. They've been so all over the place. But those two players are fine. Washington Capitals have the Monday, the Friday Sunday as well. They've got Carolina and then Dallas. And I think they've got a couple of players I like more than either of those players on Winnipeg. As I was writing this about Anthony Mantha, he's available. He's 29% owned.
You were typing the words, he's okay, and then he scored two goals.
He literally scored two goals as I was writing about him. So
he got upgraded to reasonable here.
Yeah, and I quick delete. He's fucking great. But he had been reasonable, but... showing some signs that he was going to pick it up. He's been shooting about three times a game. He has been known to have stretches of hitting as well sometimes. I did actually write down in my initial notes, if he fits your needs, go for it, but I wouldn't go out of your way to get him. And then he scored two goals. So it looks like he's starting to fit in there, but I would still stand by that, and he's probably available. So I like that one.
I'll go my trusty old Hathaway, man. He's got 21 hits, a little bit of points in his last 30 days. Only five. But this is Washington we're talking about. You can't get much in the way of that. TJ Oshie is day-to-day again. So we're going to have a line two spot opening up. You know, maybe it's Hathaway. Probably not, but one can hope. Marty Phebs, again, hitting and blocking pretty well. You know, three hits a game, two blocks a game. He won't shoot. He just won't.
Scored a goal tonight. He just scored a goal tonight.
That's his shots for like the next three games. He's done.
So yeah, he got his goal for this quarter. But yeah, he's in the top 10 in hits for sure. He's excellent.
Carolina's got a pretty plush schedule. What do you think about them?
They got a great schedule. They got Washington and then the Rangers, so tough games, but they're Carolina, so there's no such thing.
Probably high scoring, too.
No such thing as tough games for Carolina, really. But the problem with them is just there isn't really anyone left. I mean, I don't mind Nino Niederreiter as a guy who's available, and he's one of the streakier players in the world, and he's been actually okay.
We're forcing it.
He's been okay, but that's what I mean. Like in my notes, I said, there's no one here that really interests me. Niederreiter, I could be there because he's available, but everyone there who's good is taken.
Yeah. Look for Tony D to come back sometime soon. That's going to be exciting. Check him out. He's available in 16% of leagues. People that haven't picked him up yet, go do it. Go ahead. Go out there and get him. The Sharks, again, your notes here are just like, nobody.
Yeah, nice matchup. I mean, they got Colorado. They're going to get hammered. And then they have Arizona, which I guess Arizona's the new Colorado, apparently. But yeah, San Jose's just got nothing, man. They
got Tomas Hertl for 8 years.
They're building a team around an aging Tomas Hertl.
Half of their cap. We were talking about it in the group chat. Half of their cap between Hertl, Carlson, Couture, Vlasic, and Burns. For the next 4 years, half of their cap is tied up in those five players. And Meyer gets signed in too.
Every time Kyle Dubas gets shit for someone saying, like, how could you spend so much on Matthews, Nylander, and Marner and your top four? He just like points to San Jose. they got nothing.
I like Barabanov. If you got to go somebody, I mean, Barabanov, I'm waiting on Ferraro. Hopefully he gets healthy.
You got a stretch there. I am actually looking at your Philadelphia Flyers.
Hey, how about it?
I mean, they've got Ottawa, and as we keep mentioning on every episode, they are losing players left, right, and center. So they don't. They're kind of shitty to begin with, and most of their best players are out right now. And their best defenseman, who plays every minute of every game, is out right now, so it could be good for Philly. And then the Islanders. I like Risto, as I was saying earlier. He's just a bang daddy supreme, over 4.5 hits and 3 blocks a game. So you know what you're getting, and if that's what you need, he's there. Anybody else on Philly you like?
I would look at Kevin Hayes. Scored 2 goals tonight, I think. But you're looking at Claude Giroux, first-line center, potentially getting traded. Somebody's got to play first-line center. So keep an eye on what happens to those lines there. I don't think it's going to be Brassard. I think Kevin Hayes is more of that minute muncher kind of guy. It's a stretch, but it's something. I like Lawton. I just like him as a gritty kind of Hail Mary. But there's, outside of Risto, there's nobody that's really reliable. I do like TK a little bit, 23% available.
I was just going to ask you about him just as a curiosity. I got super into him when he was younger a couple of years ago and got burned on it. But I've been, I have bailed, don't worry. But I mean, looking at his last, 8-10 games, his shots have gone up quite a bit.
Way up. Yeah, over 3 a game. Leads the team over the last month.
And he is, he's not raging or anything, but he's getting some goals, some assists, a couple of power play points. It's at least trending in the right direction. Like just from my own heart, do you think he's going to go back to being a decent player as opposed to just shit? Just in general, quickly.
So much rides on it. I don't even know, man. Like the year that he had a really, really great year, he was seeing some power play one time, which he's not right now. And the power play was structured differently where he was seeing a majority too. And now it's like a 50-50 split. I don't know what to say, but he's got 8 points in his last 12 games, 40 shots in that span too. So those shots are no joke at this point. I think, if you're looking for offense and you got a Hail Mary, Konechny's my guy there. The Islanders, there are some guys there, but it's only Sunday that they play. And they play Philly, which is a great matchup for them because they always fucking wreck Philly. Who is not hot on this team right now? Like JGP is hot, 27%. Brock Nelson, 26%, hot. Beauvillier, doing great. Palmieri, 7%. Andy hits, Andy shoots. He's got 9 goals and 4 assists in his last 15 games. The whole top six is on fire. The whole top six.
And just, everybody keep in mind, on fire still means under point per game and on the island, but they're all close to it. Like it's pretty spread out. All 8 of those top players are doing really well. They've always been one of my least favorite teams for ever, but I actually feel good for them to be doing well because they've just like felt bad. They were so bad for so long,
dude,
this season.
Just in the last 15 games, Anders Lee has 10 goals. Brock Nelson has 9.
Yeah, Palmieri has 9 in the last 15.
Oh, my
15.
God. So what is that? That's
Palmieri has 4 in his last 3 games.
28 goals on, 76 and 35. So 111 shots, 28 goals between the three of them. Everything screams unsustainable, but they're fucking doing it. So pay attention.
I mean, I guess their goalies remained owned even through all of their losses, but they're actually winning games again too, fairly regularly. So
Varley's 60, Sorokin 94. So you're not picking him up. You know, Sorokin, you can take, or Varlamov, you can take a shot on. Be all right. Might get traded. Don't think he will, but so what's New York going to do? I don't see it. Don't see it. He's got one more year. Okay, Sabres, they play Calgary and Vancouver. It's tough because they're not the sexiest team, but by God, there's options available.
There's
a Tage Thompson you got here, man. He has 9 goals in 13 games and 54 shots, which is nuts. So I do like Tage Thompson.
He's, I guess Jeff Skinner has been shooting as well. They've got a few guys that are okay, but unfortunate for them, right? I mean, Calgary and Vancouver have both been hot, and they both have, like, if the Sabres are getting Markstrom and Demko back to back, that's hard cheese. Like, that's
okay. So hold on now. So Calgary has a back to back of their own. I think Buffalo gets Vladar, so there's option like that. There's an opportunity there.
True.
And then
true,
Vancouver, true. Do they have a back-to-back? Yes, they do. Vancouver sees Calgary and Buffalo. So they're probably putting Demko out against Calgary. So you got, is Halak, does he exist still?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be there for Sunday. So you're not getting Demko Markstrom. You're getting Vladar Halak.
There you go. I guess, I mean.
So let's talk about this. Tage Thompson, Alex Tuch, Jeff Skinner, all, like, Tage Thompson's 51% owned. He's tri-eligible and shoots a fuck ton. He's got 9 goals. He's number one, I think. Jeff Skinner, I would never touch him, but he is shooting, and he's got 7 points in 13. I just don't like him, so that's my bias.
Yeah, for sure. No, that changes it. That changes everything, actually. I did not notice that they were both, they were probably going to get both bad goalies. I like, yeah, Tage Thompson, and I mean, if there's one thing that Vancouver doesn't have, it's tight D, so... Without Demko, it's a whole other story about scoring and definitely getting shots off. So that's cool for Skinner.
I think Thompson's a good look. Yeah. Skinner, I mean, Okposo's on another level right now. Olofsson scoring a bunch of goals. So I don't know. Buffalo isn't as ugly as I thought.
No, and yeah, like you said, that goaltending change, that changes absolutely everything. Overall, Calgary's a more solid team with a more solid defense, and Vladar seems to be pretty decent. But fuck, Halak has been a train wreck in Vancouver, so light him up.
Perfect for Buffalo. All right, you got for Friday, Saturday, we probably won't be able to get anybody in on Saturday, but you got the Ottawa Senators and Calgary Flames. I want to first talk about Erik Brännström, who is going to be running Power Play 1, whose stats have never jumped off the page, ever. Never, ever, ever. And I'm pretty disinterested in Erik Brännström. Like, you know, maybe he strives or thrives under pressure like this. I think it's bad for Josh Norris. I think it's bad for Drake Batherson, who's going to come back. And I just don't like it as much. I don't even know what they're going to do with the power play. I think Mete would be a pretty solid pick there, but even him, he's not doing jack shit either. He's got 2 shots in his last 6 games, 2. He's getting shit for minutes, but I don't know, man. What can you even do?
I'm just going to avoid Ottawa. It's just, you know what I did? I caught a bit of a win with, I picked up Artem Zub last week. That made me really happy. I love to gamble on that guy. Yeah. But yeah, as a whole, outside of any like panicking situations, I don't want anything to do with Ottawa if they don't have like Stutzel's out right now too. Shabbat. I'm sure there's better options.
So hold on now. I just got tagged on something in the Discord. Claude Giroux is not accompanying the Flyers to Ottawa. He's staying back while Chuck Fletcher puts the finishing touches on a trade. The deal is not yet final, but I'm told it's going to be with the Florida Panthers. This is coming from Anthony Sanfilippo. He's got ins in the Philadelphia organization, so this is tough to swallow.
When we were talking about it the other day, that was the one thing I said. I was asking, do you think there is a deal in their back pocket that we're going to hear about right after that 1,000th game? And
yeah, here we are. Looks like it's going to be the Florida Panthers.
Let the rumors wait till tomorrow. Fuck, let him have his 1,000th night. Jesus. Wait. But yeah, that sounds... I mean, we talked about that earlier. That could be good for him.
I definitely have feelings about it.
I'm sorry, man.
Away she goes.
I'm sorry, man.
Maybe we'll get Tippett back. Owen Tippett. I don't know. Anyway, we're talking about Ottawa and Calgary. I don't know. You got Blake Coleman here, but I think that's just because he is the guy we always talk about. I don't
like him right now. Yeah, I mean, that's what I was getting at too, right? Like, you want him, and I know all three of you, Zach, and I are all guilty of wanting to want him, and he's a teaser, and he hasn't been good. He hasn't been good, and I don't think there's much need to give him any extra opportunity, right? Keep him where he is. They've been winning and doing great when he's kind of getting shoved down the lineup a bit. So I would advise against it unless it's like a one-day stream where you maybe are praying that it's going to be a big Blake Coleman night, but yeah.
All right, that's curtains. I've lost all steam with this Giroux news. If it is, that's what it is, but not stoked.
I'm sorry, so sorry.
Okay, so if anybody's curious, we have a kind of like a cheat sheet. I'm still ironing out the details here, but a cheat sheet for the playoffs. If you guys want it, hop in the Discord, ping me at TJ. There are two TJs, so make sure you get the right one. But yeah, I'll send it over. So that's it for us. We'll catch you for the week preview on Sunday. Till then, guys, you can find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey and in said Discord, where we will be hanging out. So until then, we love you.
Love it.